Well, I'm not really holding my breath for the second coming. I'd happily be wrong, but I don't think the world will end a week next Tuesday, or in my lifetime, or probably yours. Whatever Jesus was saying in the apocalyptic vision Luke borrows from Mark, he's probably not wanting to kick-start 1,000 conspiracy theories and countless weird end-of-the-age cults that have grown up around the whole idea. For again and again, he reminded his followers that it all actually starts here and now, with them, in them, every Monday morning, this kingdom of God. Every Monday morning we embrace the coming of the kingdom of God. We seek the coming of the kingdom of God. We pray for the coming of the kingdom of God. In the church it's terrifyingly easy to talk in pious generalities, to speak gloriously of some ill-defined coming kingdom, to advocate some high-minded idealistic principle without ever checking what the pursuit of that fine principle actually involves or requires, in fact, from me today. Within the longing of the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come," we're forced to see that fine words and lofty idealism need to be earthed in constant and costly realism, or they are simply degraded into being nothing more than empty religious clichés. It's like the man who said, "I love humanity, it's people I can't stand." He sort of sums up the dilemma. Because any genuine looking for the kingdom of God needs to be cashed out in all the little decisions, all the small choices that the Christian encounters every day. Madame Gironde, trundling in her tumbril on her way to the guillotine during the French Revolution, looks out on the bloodthirsty crowd baying like wolves for her death and cries, "Ah, liberty, what crimes are committed in thy name?" And she reminds us what happens when even the highest ideals cut loose from everyday basic morality and become dangerous things. The villages burn, the terror is granted the status of a legitimate weapon of the war. The bomb in the baby carriage is wired to the radio, as long as the dream is being pursued. Whether that dream is independence, freedom, democracy, then the small print, the little agonies, the nice and not so nice details of humanity and morality can somehow be bypassed. That convenient spin on morality has no place in the coming of the Son of Man, for which we long. That is realised in all the small victories over self, in every instance when love overcomes fear, where self-sacrifice supplants the more traditional pattern of looking after number one. There is the kingdom. Or where a broken relationship is put right, there's where we discover the presence of the kingdom of God. This keeps the focus sharp and stops the Christian going off on some self-indulgent theological trip, cut loose from the real world, head in the clouds of pure ideas. It keeps us in the here and now of each day, with its encounters and its connections. For unless the Son of Man comes here, is present here and now, in this most practical of contexts, there is no kingdom of God. For his kingdom is not an abstract, shimmering mirage, some vague entity we look for or wait for impatiently, but rather it is the quite disturbingly definite and unforgivingly specific rule of God in the hearts of his people. It has to be real in my heart and in your heart, or else hypocrisy becomes the name of the game. And we recognise that this idealised picture is realised, made actual, only as God's will is done in the lives of men and women like ourselves, and as his Spirit is welcomed into real people's stories to breathe healing and mercy and build new relationships. The coming of the Son of Man, a manifesto for a brave new world. But that world remains just a dream, as long as we hang back, hedge our bets, refuse to feel the sharpness of the vision, waiting for it but not really meaning it for ourselves. like St. Augustine with his famous prayer, give me chastity, but not yet. We say, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus, but out there in someone else's changed life, not mine. Your will be done in some non-specific way, but one that leaves my life essentially undisturbed. Come Lord Jesus, but over there, at several removes from my story, establish your authority over there, over them. But I would prefer to be left alone, thanks all the same. To wait for the coming of Christ suggests, requires, a deliberate opting for his presence in our life, in our experience. Otherwise, it's just words.